the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let us pray. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. I thank you for this night. I thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you that one more time we can come into your house, we can break bread. Lord God, you can minister to our heart tonight. Lord, you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, you'd be in the midst. And Lord, I know tonight that you're in the midst of your people tonight. You're ministering to our hearts, ministering to our soul, ministering to our mind. And Lord, I pray tonight that when we leave this place, we can say it's been good to be in your house. Father, I pray right now for the ones that are sick, the ones that need a touch, the unspoken request all over the room tonight, Lord God. I'm praying that you meet needs like never before, Father. Lord, I pray them needs be met from no other source but the Holy Ghost tonight. Lord God, that it not be met from some man, but it be met from you tonight. Father, I praise you, I glorify you, and I desire to have you in everything that I do. Father, I love you, I praise you, and I glorify you. Guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let everything I say tonight be all about you. Lord, if I preach out of my heart, it'd be wicked. But if I preach out of the Holy Ghost tonight, it'd be right. And Lord, I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit move through this place. I pray for the one that's walked in that's not very hungry tonight. Lord, they get an appetite for you tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that we feed on your word tonight in the blessed name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight we come in spiritual hunger. The key verse tonight to memorize would be 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 through 3. And it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Tonight, to memorize, and I write this on every one of the paper, means to know, to learn, and to keep forever. Spiritual hunger is when you desire the Lord and His Word. I'm talking about you desire it, you wake up with it on your mind, you go to bed with it. You desire that Word, the Lord and His Word. I'm talking about when you are starving to death and you need the Word of God. I'm not talking about a bunch of munchies. That's what I wrote down there. Now, there's times at home I just get the munchies, don't you? I mean, I just want a snack. I'm really not hungry. I just want a snack. I get the munchies. I just give me a bag of potato chips. Give me a little Debbie cake. Give me something like that. That'll just do me for the time being. And I'm afraid that that's how we are as Christians. We just get the munchies. We really don't want God to speak to us. We really don't want God to get all up in our business. We really don't want God to meet with us, because if He meets with us, it's going to hinder our plans and what we got going on when God meets with us. Now, if we just got the munchies and we get a little daily devotion, a little K-love, a little here, a little there, it'll fill a little bit of the void, but it won't fill you all the way up. But here's what he said. He said, spiritual hunger is when you desire the Lord and His Word. I'm talking about when you are starving to death and not the munchies. So let's look at spiritual hunger tonight, being spiritually hunger. I wrote this down to get us started tonight. To be spiritual hunger tonight, there's a problem with being spiritually hungry. And here's the problem that I see tonight with being spiritual hunger. We're newborn babes. As you get saved and you're just born again, you are a newborn babe. And when the devil knows that tonight, and he knows that better than anybody, that you've just been born again, or that you've got an up and you got a down, you've got something going on in your life, and he'll try to feed you anything but the Word of God. If not careful, as a newborn babe tonight, as a newborn Christian tonight, or as an old Christian that is getting renewed in your spirit, amen? I'm talking about getting renewed. Hey, man, I've been saved for years, but I'm just dry. Been saved for years, but I'm just dull. I ain't got an edge about me. And I want that back. No devil feeds you anything trying to get you not to get on the Word of God. If not careful, you would eat anything to fill up, and oh, Satan will provide the meal for you. When you get hungry for the Word of God and you say, and you make up in your mind and you say, I'm going to study that Word, I'm going to read that Bible, this year I'm going to read the Word all the way through, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and you get down on it and you say, I'm going to do it, you remember tonight, oh, Satan, he's looking for you. I say this tonight, and I quote verbatim, word for word, what David Jeremiah said, and I quote this: Satan loves to keep a Christian busy or hungry. Satan loves to keep you busy or to keep you hungry, doing anything but the will of God. Not all ministry that you do is the will of God. Not all ministry that you do is the will of God. Some ministry you do, you just do because you've got to do it. You just do it so some slot would be filled. But tonight, I want you to be careful on being busy or hungry for things that's not in the will of God. David and Jeremiah said there's 12 steps to keeping you busy or hungry that Satan will do. And I use these verbatim. He says, number one, keep them busy with non-essential stuff. Stuff that don't really matter, but keep them busy with it. Tempt them to, and kind of like being on Facebook or on your phone. You can scroll all you want, but it ain't going to do you a bit of good. Don't do a bit of good to sit there scrolling, wasting time, wasting energy, wasting all kind of things. Keep them busy with non-essential stuff. Tempt them to overspend and go in debt. Is that not what Satan does in the world we live in? Teach them to overspend and to go in debt. Tempt them. Make them work long hours to maintain their debt. Is that not where we're at? Man, you can't even go to church because you're having to work overtime to make bills, make ends meet, make things meet. Discourage them, number four, discourage them from spending family time. If I've ever seen it, it's the world we live in. You go somewhere and you see the mom and the kids, but where's the daddy at? You go somewhere, you see the daddy and the kids, but where's the mama at? Listen to me tonight. You be together as a family. You stay together as a family. Discourage them from spending family time, for when the home disintegrates, there is no refuge from work. Number five, overstimulate their minds with television and computers so they can't hear God speaking to them. Do you ever find yourself never wanting to be in a quiet place? You always want something on, always wanting a racket, always wanting a fan, always wanting a ceiling fan. Oh, Lord Jesus. Always, I can't have it quiet, preacher. I don't like total quietness. You know why? Because that's when God speaks to you in total quietness. I don't like that, preacher. Fill their coffee tables and nightstands with newspapers and magazines so they have no time to read the Bible. Man, I'm telling you what, and I'm not picking on Facebook tonight. I'm not picking on social media. But there's nothing took people out of Bible study more than that. Do you know that there is a pandemic going on of that? And it's when you scroll so much that you get addicted to it. And there's people having to go to rehab for that. What is it doing? It's pulling you away from family. It's pulling you away. You're hungry. You're feeding on something. Fill their coffee tables and nightstands with newspapers and magazines so they have no time to read the Bible. Flood their mailboxes and email with sweepstakes. Get rich schemes so they chase material things. Put glamorous models, boy, if this ain't never been true, put glamorous models on TV and magazine covers to keep them focused on outward appearances that they will be dissatisfied with themselves and with their mate. Make sure couples are too exhausted to have physical intimacy. That way they will be tempted to look elsewhere. Well, that's what the devil will do. Because you're hungry for something. Emphasize Santa and the Easter Bunny. That way you'll be directed from the real meanings of the holidays. Involve them in good causes so they won't have time for eternal causes. Number 12, David Jeremiah said, make them self-sufficient. Make them self-sufficient. Keep them busy working in their own strengths so that they'll never know the joy of God's power working through them. That's a problem with being spiritually hungry as newborn babes. You make sure tonight that you are hungry for the Word of God. I see that tonight, that as newborn babes, there's a problem with it, and we have to be careful. We have to be alert because we'll try to feed on anything and everywhere. But let me move on tonight. I wanted to share that with you. But number two tonight, in verse number two, I want to share this with you. I see not only a problem with being spiritually hungry, but I see a purpose for being spiritually hungry. There's a purpose in your life, and there's a purpose in my life that I get spiritually hungry. And look what he says tonight. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. What should I desire, preacher? You just should desire to eat on the Word of God. I wrote this down. If you're not hungry, you won't eat. You can't make a man physically eat if he's not hungry. I've seen people that's had cancer and they've been on chemo and they lose their appetite and they say, you need to eat, you need to build up strength. And you know what they'll do? They'll turn it away. They can't stand the smell. They'll want it away from them. They don't want nothing to do with it. Why? Because they have no hungry appetite. Friends, tonight, can I say to you, we can never get like that when it comes to the Word of God tonight. We must be hungry for the Word of God. The desire to eat. If you're not hungry, you won't eat. Turn with me, if you will, to Job 23:12. And here's Job talking tonight. And he is talking about how he hungers for the Word of God. He hungers for what God would do in his life. I ask you tonight, do you hunger for what God would do in your life tonight? Do you hunger for that? Do you starve for that tonight? Do you want God to move on your life in a mighty way? Look with me, if you will, tonight to Job. Job tonight, chapter number, if you will, 23 and verse number 12 tonight. I want to show you this in the Bible. Job chapter number 23 and verse number 12 tonight. Job 23 in verse number 12 tonight. Let me show you this, how Job, you know what all he lost and what all he had went through. But here's what Job said about the word of God. He said this in Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed his words. That means I've put his words higher than anything that you can imagine. His words lead me. They guide me. They're all in my life. He said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's what Job said. He said, the word of God is more necessary than the food that I eat. Purpose for being spiritually hungry. Number one, desire to eat. Number two, you must desire to grow and know the Lord. Look what he says tonight in verse number two. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Not only we desire to eat, but we have a desire to grow and know the Lord. Sister Denise gave a praise report tonight. And that praise report tonight is that baby's drinking milk. That baby's drinking milk, and won't be long, he'll be on whole milk. It won't be long, he'll be on real food, tearing up real food. You say, what is that, preacher? That's growing thereby. That's growing in what God's called you to do. Philippians 3:10, the Bible says that I may know him. Now, when I'm telling you know him, it's not knowing about him, it's knowing him. I've had a lot of people say, do you know so-and-so? And I say, well, I don't know him, but I'm acquainted with him. I don't know him, but I'm acquainted with him. Folks, tonight, it's the difference of being acquainted with God and knowing God. It's the difference of knowing a little bit about him or knowing his book and knowing him personally. He said there in Philippians 3, he said that I may know him. To know him is to be intimate with him and know him on a daily basis. Listen to me. When we went up there to the mountains, and I wasn't going to get on this, but I've got to because it was so good in my life. Every day a kid brought a devotion. Kaylee brought a devotion the first day, and her devotion was, when was the last time you cried out to God and asked God to do something in your life? And the next morning we woke up, and we was waking them up early, amen. I told Elizabeth, they come in, I told her, I said, hon, I won't get you up at 5:30 this morning, I'm going to get you up at 6. I'm going to give you a little break. Hey, sleep your day away if you ain't careful, man. I like to be up, don't you? I want to make sure I'm alive and well, ready to go. And then the next morning, Kyler brought a word. And man, he brought a great word and done a terrific job on what he did. And then the next morning, Brother Garrett, he brought a great word and done a great job on what he did. And then Brother Mason, he come in there and he brought a word. And man, it was just great. And we were sitting there Sunday morning, and I went looking for something. I went looking for what I've been missing. Man, I've been dry. I've been dull. I've been bitter. I mean, you know where you get there. Do y'all ever get there? And man, I was like, Lord, I'm going where you went, to the mountains, not necessarily Gatlinburg, but I went where you went, to the mountains, and I'm going to look for something. And I've got to find what I've been missing. And that's that joy and that peace and that comfort and that rest in the Holy Ghost, and I'm looking for it. And I told Brother Eric the other night at church, crying don't mean the Holy Ghost is there, okay? Crying don't mean you got saved. But in my life, listen, in my life, you can hit me on the nose and I'm not going to cry. I'm going to get mad. But when I'm sitting there and a young man tells me that in all things and everything that I do, I ought to have gratitude and I ought to give all kind of things. And Brother Garrett talks about the seasons of life that we're in. And Kaylee's talking about crying out. And Kyler's giving his devotion. Man, that thing's just coming together. And they're sitting there picking a guitar. And I'm sitting on that porch and it starts swelling up. And I'm telling you, I got crying like a little old baby. Like somebody had been whooped. Why? Because I was desiring the sincere milk of the word. I was wanting what God would give me. And he started filling me up. And I started crying uncontrollably, just sitting there squalling, weeping. And Brandy said, this is any good wife would do. She reached over and pat me on the leg and said, it's going to be okay. And I said, it sure is. She said, it's going to be okay. It sure is. You said, what is that, preacher? That's what I went looking for. I went looking for that spirit to minister to me. You said, preacher, you had to go all the way up there for him to minister to you. I had to go somewhere. I had to get along somewhere. And I'm talking about desiring to know him, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Friends, I'm telling you, when you know him, you know him. Amen. Nobody ain't got to ask you, do you know him? You know him. He lives inside of you. He is alive and well. Amen. And that's what God did in my life this week. That's what God did in my life this week. I was sitting there Monday studying. When I got home, I'm telling you, I got to screaming and squalling. I just sitting at the table weeping over how God has saved me. And I said, God, how did I get under such Holy Ghost conviction when I got saved? How did you convict me? How did you do that? How did you put me under Holy Ghost conviction? And he said, it was by my word that convicted you. It was by my word that it convicted you. First time I ever was convicted in my life of my sin, Brother Hayden, first time ever was in the tool crib at Hoster. 1998, bulletproof 18-year-old, and I had a mouth. I'd outcuss a sailor. I don't even never heard a sailor cuss, but I know I could do it. I could do it now. I could do it with the best of them. And I didn't care who was around. I graduated high school. I was bad. You hear me? And I was in there, and I let GD slip out. Just like always. And little old James Smith, round man, had a bad hip come limping around where I was at. And that man scolded me in the name of Jesus. And he said, "Are you a Christian?" He had me, whooper. Whoopie had me. I said, "Yeah." He said, "You ain't no Christian. If you was a Christian, you'd never let that come out of your mouth." Son, he just railed on me, letting me have it. And son, he started quoting scripture on me. And he started telling me what God had done for him. And son, I'm telling you what, if there was a crowd, I'd stand around him. But if it was just him in a corner, I'd make sure I got away from him. That man scared me to death, probably 70-year-old. I could have whooped him, but spiritually, yeah, he had me, Brother John. And from 1998 to 2007, what that man told me that day, I didn't get saved, but I laid down with that man every night. I woke up with him every morning. I drank coffee. I mean, everything. Listen to me. That spirit was just stirring in me, man. I'd get mad. I was under conviction for all them years leading up to that. And I'll never forget when I got born again, saved in 2007. I went to his home and I told him I wanted him to forgive me for what I had said in front of him. Why? Because I was started growing in the Word of God, growing thereby that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Tonight I want to ask you, do you know Jesus? Not church, not nothing, just do you know Jesus? Makes all the difference in the world. Look what he says here in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 10, that you may grow by that word. Look at this tonight. He says this, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. He's got power. Did you know that? God's got power. Holy Ghost power, son. I'm telling you. Whoa, glory. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. What happens when you get to know him? He changes you. He resurrects you. I see also in the Bible not only a desire to eat, a desire to grow and know the Lord, but as a young Christian tonight, and I consider myself a young Christian still, I've been saved 18 years, and a lot of you have been saved a lot longer than I have, but I consider myself a young Christian. And I don't know as much as all them other scholar dudes do. You hear me? But I do know one thing. They ain't no more saved than I am. I know when he reached down, he got nothing out of the bucket, but he seen something worth saving. Amen? And he pulled me out of a devil's hell and set me up. And I thank God for that tonight. You listen to me. In my spirit tonight, I know when he's working. I know when he's well. And I know when he tells me everything's well in my Father's house. It may be turmoil here. It may be things going on here. But you listen to me tonight. We got a God in heaven. And I want you to know tonight that he loves you. He ain't nothing he wouldn't do for you tonight. And you get hungry on his word, he'll feed you tonight. He ain't no respecter of persons tonight. He said desire to eat, to grow. And I love this, desire to taste. Desire to taste. There's one thing when you're hungry. Man, I've been hungry. And I've ate stuff. And I was like, you eat it. Have you ever ate a bunch of stuff? Man, I know I'm all over the place. Man, I'm just full. I can't get over it. Brother OJ, have you ever ate? Let me get it off my lip. Have you ever ate something and you're like, you ate it. And you know you ate it. But you're like, that ain't what I wanted. That ain't what I wanted. Brady said, we done ate supper. I said, yep, that ain't what I wanted. What'd you want? I said, baby, I want something else. Was it not good? Yeah, it was good, but it just ain't what I wanted. What are you going to do? Let's go to Sonic. Let's go get us one of them old big... Y'all don't know nothing I'm talking about tonight. Let's go get us one of them big foot-long chili cheese. We're going to share it? No, that's mine. And get us one of them Oreo Blast. A little extra whipped cream on top, please. And you get up there, and you ain't a bit hungry in the world, Brother Eric. You done ate, but it just didn't do it. The Bible says, oh, taste and see. That's what I'm afraid is wrong with a lot of Christians. They've never tasted it. They've never tasted it. They got them a bite of church. They got them a little bite, and they liked it, but they never tasted. They never tasted him. Folks, you listen to me tonight, I cannot be hungry at all. And I can taste something good and I eat the whole bowl. Why? Because when it's good, it's good. When it's right, it's right. He said in Psalm 34 and verse number 8, he said, "Oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and see." There's been so many times in my life I've been down in the valley and I said, "Lord, I just need a taste. I don't need you to touch me. Hello? I need to taste you." Now, if I'm going to touch it, that's one thing. If I'm going to touch it, that's one thing. But I need to taste it. To taste it, I'm fixing to eat it. I'm fixing to digest it. I'm fixing to within. I'm fixing to take it within. I'm fixing to get what I need. I'm getting the nourishment that I need. He said, "Oh, taste and see." I'm asking you now, how hungry are you? How hungry are you? Let me show you this in the text as we move on tonight. The kids are fixing to come on. He says the purpose for being spiritually hungry, desire to eat, desire to grow, desire to taste. Psalm 34, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. See that the Lord is good." I say there's a problem with being spiritual hunger. Make sure you eat the right stuff. There's a purpose for being spiritually hungry, that you may have a desire. But there's also a promise for being spiritually hungry. And here's the promise. "If so be ye have tasted and the Lord is gracious." The Bible promises you and I tonight that if you hunger, you shall be filled. There's nobody that's ever hungered after the Lord and he didn't fill them. Matthew 5, 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." They shall be filled. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet. You get all you want when you go to the foot of Jesus. Promise for being spiritually hungry. Peter knew what it was to be hungry. Shall be filled. But I want to end with this. There's a promise for being spiritually hungry, and that's you'll never hunger or thirst when you hunger after the Lord and thirst after the Lord. You hunger and you thirst after the Lord. He says tonight in John 6, 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life." I am the bread of life. "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Tonight, if you're hungry, come to the Father. Tonight, if you're thirsty, come to the Father. Come to his table. Dine at his table. Get with him. When we left that trip coming home Sunday, I don't know how good time everybody else had. I don't know. Son, my wife's told me I can have a good time by myself. I don't know. You ain't going to hear me say it was a bad time. I ain't going to complain about it. We had a good time. But we did have a good time. You know what I'm saying? But I can almost sell ice to an Eskimo. You hear me? They said, "I thought you said that was good eating." I said, "Well, it tastes good to me." But we woke up Sunday morning, and, "Oh, taste and see." And we had tasted him over the weekend. I mean, man, it was good. Brother OJ, it was good. And we woke up that morning, had church there, son. The Holy Spirit met with us. There in that little old cabin sitting on front, cool outside, wind blowing. Tears flowing down my face. And said, "Y'all ready to go?" "Son, I think we cleaned that cabin looking for stuff 5 times. Didn't want to go, didn't want to leave." Listen to me. When's the last time you've been there? It's about time, preacher. About time. You don't know on Sunday morning how many of them I get. About time, preacher. Hey. About time, preacher. We pay them by the hour around here. You need to hurry it up. Said, "Oh, taste and see. Taste and see." Thing got lingering on there. Said, "What you gonna do?" He's on back. "No, let's go downtown for a little bit." Went downtown, ate breakfast with Brother David Barnes, and he didn't buy mine, by the way. I sure didn't. Listen to me. I'm going somewhere with this. It's about 10 o'clock. What y'all going to do, go home? No. What are we going to do? Let's stop by Bucky's on the way out. We stopped by Bucky's on the way out. Y'all ready to go? No. Listen, that's when the Spirit's right. When you desire to be around one another. There's no animosity. There's no bitterness. There's no anger. There's no malice. There's no clamor. You like being around that person because we have a kindred spirit. Got to know them. Got to know how they love. Listen to me. That's what the trip's about. Got to know. left Bucky's, headed back, talked to each other all the way back. Like a bunch of little school kids. Why? Something got stirred. Taste and see, something got stirred on the inside. What you want? You ready to go home now, baby? No. Let's stop again. You ready to go home now? No. Let's stop again. Next time we're in the Cheesecake Factory in Birmingham. You better taste when you go there. You better get you a big slice because they're going to get your wallet. We got ready to leave. So we're going home. Going back. Going back to what, preacher? Going back to life, reality. What you going to take back with you? I'm talking to somebody tonight. When's the last time you tasted God and you said, man, I can't get away from that. Man, I can't get away from that. I went with a bunch of 20-year-olds, 21s, 22s. Elizabeth, thanks for God, you're 22. I'm way older than them. Brother Harold, I'm way older than them. You hear me? They stayed up 2 o'clock at night. I was in bed like at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. But I got around somebody that didn't have a care in the world. Have a care in the world. Just a bunch of young kids hungry for the Word of God. Sit down and do a devo, and then you had to tell them to bring their Bibles. They just laid them open there, son. Got around a bunch of young kids that just loved Jesus. Didn't have a care in the world. Said, preacher, what'd that do for you? Done this old preacher good. Why? Got to rub up beside them a little bit. Got to feel what they were feeling. Got to taste what they've been tasting. And can I say to you, it was good. Done my heart good. Done me good. Tonight I want to ask you this. When was the last time you sat down and you said, man, that sure is good. Man, that sure is good. When was the last time you let your edge down, your guard down, and you said, hey, feed me. Feed me, Lord. Oh, taste and see. Just taste him. Just taste him. Tonight, if you're hungry, get at the feet of Jesus. Get at the feet of Jesus. Grab you a life verse, hang on to it, put your toenails in it, fingernails, hold on to it. When no devil comes against you, you quote him that verse, remind him he's a liar, he's a loser, and his time's limited. And remind him that your time is for eternity. Remind him of that. It's good when you can taste and see. Tonight I don't want to ask you, when's the last time you tasted and you desired it so much you had to have it? Tonight the kids are fixing to come in. I hear them coming down. They got boxes. We're going to pray over boxes to send out what God can do. What God can do. As a church, you're here. I know you're here. Don't lose your hunger for God. When you quit being hungry, you'll quit going to the table. Let me say it again. When you quit being hungry, you'll stop going to the table. We live in a diet world. Everybody you see is on a diet. They're either on a diet, been on a diet, or going to go on a diet. And that is rubbed off on our spiritual life. We want to diet on God. Don't you worry about how much you weigh in the Lord. You fill up for him, amen? Let us pray. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. Father, I come in tonight happy. I come in tonight thankful. I come in tonight renewed, refreshed, thankful for what you've done, thankful for that spiritual hunger, thankful for how you feed us. Lord, and you can use whatever you want to do tonight in this place. You're on the throne. You're the king. You're the Lord. You're God. Lord, tonight, whoever's been having a problem with their hunger, I pray you help them tonight. I pray you help them. Because you've got a purpose for them tonight. And you've promised that if we'll just feed on you, we can leave this place, we can leave our workplaces, everywhere we go, full of what you have for us. Father, I love you, I praise you, and I glorify you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said,